We hear that the parties are going to focus this week on help for families. The Liberals will unveil the first of their election platform policies today. It'll be about education and post-secondary education costs. They're going to talk further about help for families dealing with an ailing member of the family and so-called caregiver assistance. And the Conservatives yesterday responded to one of the things that you have been proposing, and that is a family income splitting policy, a tax cut for families where one family member either stays home or has a lower income than the other. So would you first respond to the Harper proposal and the fact that he's delaying it until 2015?
Well, that's the one fly in the ointment right now. I really like the plan because it is dealing with an issue that we've been pushing on for the last 5 years. It's something that I think many Canadian families will benefit from. I wish it was sooner rather than later. There's a little part of me that says it's being fiscally responsible, but at the same time, there are many other programs that are being funded at this point. But the gist of the plan of supporting and helping families, especially with young kids, is a great and wonderful idea.
So, income splitting means what?
What it really means is we did some scenarios about 4 years ago with Dr. Jack Mintz at the University of Calgary, one of Canada's foremost tax authorities. He did the number crunching for us and looked and said two families each earning $70,000. One family had a single income earner, so mom was earning $70,000. The other family, both parents were earning $35,000 each. So the household income was the same. The difference was at the end of the tax year that the single earner family was actually paying close to $4,000 more in taxes per year. So when you go to the bank to get a loan for a car or you're looking at some of the financial issues, the bank will usually look at your household income. Can your household support this debt load? Unfortunately, what the family with a single earner was being penalized by almost $4,000 a year. And so their options were more limited. What this really does is it shifts some of the income from the higher earner to the lower earner and balances that out so that families are getting to keep more of their hard-earned dollars in their pockets so they can choose what to do with it.
But not till 2015.
But not till 2015.
And do you accept the government's claim, the Harper government's claim, that that's because we're still in a deficit situation and they just can't afford to introduce this $2 billion program?
We do know that it's an expensive program. The flip side of that is that if it was introduced sooner, that the money would get into the pockets of the Canadians sooner, and most of us are going to spend it in some form. We're going to save it in the form of RESPs for our children or in terms of our RSPs for our retirement, but that gets it back into the financial institutions and they relend it back out. Or I spend it on a vacation with my kids, or I buy soccer programs for my son or my art classes for my daughter, as the case may be. So I would like to see it done sooner than later. I think that it would be benefit and it would ensure that money is rolling through the economy a little bit faster.
So the Liberals will put exactly that proposal in front of voters. They will say, we can give you these benefits now. We can give you universal child care quickly. We can give you assistance with post-secondary education costs now, caregiver assistance now, compared to what they call the crumbs from the Conservatives, and we'll do it by increasing corporate tax cuts. Do you support that?
I certainly don't support corporate tax increases. The economy is run on the backs of small business and large business at large. I mean, that's who hires us. That's who pays our salaries and wages so that we in turn can support our families in turn. So I don't support that aspect of it. Anything that supports families, I'm willing to look at and give very careful consideration to. When we look at a national child care program, I'm quite opposed to that, actually. Our research has told us that actually parents would rather take care of their own kids at home. Unfortunately, most families have to look at the financial implications. Either they've made decisions or simply rent or mortgage costs are so high that they can't afford to have both parents stay or one of the parents stay at home with their kids. So what we really should be doing is looking at how we can lower taxes in order to support families rather than try to find a one-size-fits-all program that really doesn't fit everybody.
Would increasing the universal child care benefit go in that direction?
It certainly would. It certainly would. Because then again, parents get the money to in their pocket and they can decide how they're going to deal with it. Some parents are still going to use child care, and that's certainly their decision, and that's fine. But other parents are going to use it in different ways, but it's going to suit their needs the best way.
So the rumor, being spread by the conservatives, by the way, is that the liberals, when they unveil their universal child care program, are going to do away with what they call the universal child care benefit. Would you support that?
I wouldn't support that for both those reasons. That a one-size-fits-all program doesn't fit everybody's needs. Look at the parent that's working an afternoon shift or an evening shift or part-time work. A universal child care program doesn't help their needs. And also it's taking money out of their pocket, whether they want it taken out or not, and they don't have the choice of how they want to spend it then.
How powerful a driver will this whole question of taxes and benefits for families be in this election campaign?
Well, it looks like it's going to be perhaps not the major issue, but it's going to be one of the most talked about issues, and I'm glad about that. You mentioned a moment ago about the caring for aging parents and so on. That's a major issue in our society right now. As we age, we're all getting a little bit older, and you know that baby boom bubble is moving up into retirement years now. We're going to see more and more families that have younger or teenage children at home, as well as aging parents, and they're caught in the middle. They're called the sandwich generation. And so they're squeezed in the middle a little bit that way. We're seeing more and more parents that are trying to say, how can I make ends meet? How can I support my kids as they get ready for school, for high school, for university or college or technical school, or as the case may be? Those are all very important issues. And we need to remember there's only one taxpayer, and at the local, the provincial, and the federal level, and the pockets only go so deep. And so we do need to be talking actively about this and making sure that we're making wise decisions for our futures.
So towards the end of this campaign, which has only got another month or so to go,
it's going fast.
Are you going to, your organization, Institute of Marriage and Family Canada, put out a report card on all the various promises that have been made to families and basically score them?
That's something that we've considered. We'll wait until we get a little bit further in the campaign here. Certainly, we spoke yesterday on the family income splitting. That's something we've done a lot of research on. We're very supportive of. That's probably something that we'll do towards the end of the campaign, is sort of summarize the family issues that each of the different major parties have put out. And people could go to our website, imfcanada.org, and look for that probably around the end of April.
I think that'll be helpful. Thank you, Dave.
Absolutely. All the best, Steve.